please join me in the call to worship. Listen, there is hope to be found here. Listen, God calls you by name here. Listen, there is love that abides here. This world is full of chatter, so when we do our best to listen, God is speaking. Let us worship God. I invite you now to stand as you are able to sing hymn number 81, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days. You may be seated. Friends, if you are seeking grace in this moment is for you. If you are seeking growth, this moment is for you. If you are seeking honesty, this moment is for you. For in the prayer of confession, we admit to ourselves and to God that we do not have it all figured out. And in that vulnerability, we are surrounded by God's grace. So let us pray together using the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. Holy God, too often we treat your word like a radio station, something we can tune in and out of when it's convenient. Our minds are full of ads, emails, news updates, and notifications. In the midst of this clutter, we tend to gravitate toward the voices that think like us, easily ignoring the voices being silenced, easily ignoring your voice. Forgive us for failing to listen. Forgive us for being caught in distractions. Forgive us for forgetting what your voice sounds like. Drain the distractions from our minds and help us turn once again toward you. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. Friends, even when we tune God out, even when we prioritize other voices, even when we do all the talking and fail to listen, we are still held by God. Our sins are forgiven. Nothing could ever separate us from God's love. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thank you.
peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby. There we go. Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have you with us this morning. I am Lou Pennebaker, Director of Christian Nurture and Education. And I'd like to ask you to take a moment this morning to register your attendance with us. You will find in the pew a small pad that you can register your name if you are here every week. If you are new or visiting and would like more information about us, we would be happy to be in conversation with you and invite you to add any additional information on that form that you are willing. As always, we invite you to join us following the worship service for our coffee fellowship that takes place in our fellowship hall right through this door here. We have coffee, juice, and tea, and oftentimes mini treats. Oh, am I working? I'm back on now? Oh, good. Yes? No? Okay. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. We had a worship service this past Wednesday for Ash Wednesday. It was our first time doing it midday. So today, as part of our worship service, we will also be offering the imposition of ashes. For those of you that weren't able to join us on Ash Wednesday and would like to participate in that, and Pastor Renee will be giving instructions for that at that point of our service. As part of Lent, we invite you to participate with at-home daily devotionals. We have two options for you for that. We have a daily email that is being sent out if you would like to receive that. It contains a simple question for reflection or journaling or to be used as a prayer prompt. It ties in with the sermon series that Renee will be preaching throughout Lent and also contains a simple prayer each day. You may sign up for that in Fellowship Hall. They do not build on each other, so you can start it at any time, start receiving those emails. Additionally, in Fellowship Hall, there is a calendar that is available that has a daily scripture for reflection. And again, it is not building one day after the other, so you can pick it up and start it at any time as well. Today, following worship at 11 a.m., Pastor Renee will be continuing with the class, The Years of Ripening. That happens in Fireside Room, and all are welcome to join. This morning, we have a rose here up on the chancel. That is in celebration of the birth of Finley Jane Killeen. There's no information in your bulletin because she was born yesterday at 12:09 p.m. She is the second granddaughter of Gary and Mary, and we are thrilled to celebrate with them at her birth. Coming up, we have on Tuesday, Let's Read This Book. Sherry Plunkett is reading through The Prodigal Prophet by Tim Keller every Tuesday at 1:30 in the Fireside Room. They started last week. And invite anyone to come and join them. If you are interested in following along, Sherry still has books available. You can see her after the service with any questions or to get more information about that class. Starting this week, we have a midweek offering for Lent on Wednesday nights at 5:30 here at the church called Casseroles and Questions. We will be sharing a meal together and then spending time digging deeper with the questions that are a part of the sermon series throughout Lent. So we invite you to come and join us for that conversation and meal together. Coming up on Saturday, March 7th, we have the men's Bible study and women's fellowship breakfasts that happen at Manor Grill. Information about that is in your bulletin. And then Sunday, March 8th, will be our annual congregation meeting. So we invite you to stay after the service. Annual reports will be available next Sunday for you to pick up and take home and read over before the meeting the following Sunday. We have one last announcement. I invite Bob Kraut to come forward for that announcement. And following him, Sherry Plunkett will come forward for our scripture reading.
You may have noticed that it's been cold and rainy the last few weeks. And unfortunately, San Leandro does not have a warming center this year. Did not get pulled together in the past. We have provided meals for that. And so there's some rumbling in the community about starting it on a volunteer basis. And so tomorrow night there's a group of us that are meeting to see what we can pull together. And so I'm looking for people who are interested in being involved in a warming center. And in previous years, we have provided a meal on occasion. We would propose to do that again this year. But in addition, we would need pairs of people who were willing to work shifts overnight so that there are always two people at the center to just be there and to engage with people. Probably we're looking at four-hour shifts. Two of them would be right in the middle of the night, so it would involve night driving. One would be in the evening. I guess it would involve night driving, too, because it would go until about 9 o'clock. The other would be first thing in the morning from 5 for a couple of hours and then an hour or so of cleanup. So if anybody is interested in doing that, if you'd like further information, if you would like to be involved, please look for me in the fellowship hall. I will try and keep away from counting for a little bit to take some time to do that. But all I'm trying to do is assess the availability of people here to either cook for providing a meal, or I think probably more difficult is finding people who are willing to take a four-hour shift in the middle of the night to be there and to just maintain order. To really, all you have to do is stay awake. So if anybody is interested, please see me.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Holy God, listening is always easier said than done. We shuffle into this space and try to quiet our minds, but the list of distractions is long. We need your help to listen. So today we ask that you would marinate us in your word. Dust the cobwebs from our ears, stir our souls awake. Crack open our hearts to make room for you. Scoop us up. Put us in your pocket. Carry us with you wherever you go. We want to hear you, really hear you. So speak to us now. With hope, we pray. Amen. I'll be reading from Genesis 2, 15 to 17, and then we're going to jump to Genesis 3, 1 through 7. You can find it in the Pew Bible on page 4. Let us hear the word of the Lord. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when you eat from it, you will certainly die. For if you eat from it, you will certainly die." Then we jump to Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir. Our text for our second scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and it's the story of the temptation of Jesus. Hear now the word of God. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Lou noted, our start to this season of Lent began with Ash Wednesday. And if you count from Ash Wednesday through to Easter Sunday, but omit the Sundays, you get the number 40. And 40 is a neat key number in the Bible. It's mentioned over 130 times in the Old Testament and over 40 in the New Testament. Noah, for example, experienced 40 days of rain in the story of the flood. The Egyptian Hebrew slaves spent 40 years in the desert on their way to the promised land. Moses spends 40 days and night on Mount Sinai. And in today's scripture, Jesus spends 40 days in the desert following his baptism. 40 is the number for fulfillment and completion. In the Gospel of Matthew particularly, the Jesus narrative tells us that Jesus is fulfilling the story of the Israelites. And this 40 days of testing by the devil, I think, was to match the Hebrew scripture story of the Hebrew slaves being in the wilderness for 40 years on their way to the promised land. And along that journey, the Hebrew slaves listened to bad advice and false teachers. They complained about their circumstances all the time, and even comparing the meat stews in Egypt to their much less exciting rations in the wilderness. And they also made a sculpture of Baal, the other god, one of the other gods, and worshiped that Canaanite god when Aaron led them astray. And so here, in the story of the temptation, we've got a counter story to that. The story of temptation here is more detailed than what we find in Mark, which simply says he went into the wilderness. Here we see three particular temptations that the devil offers him. And they show the way that false voices in the world are not always immediately reprehensible to us. They entice. There's an element of attraction. The type of wickedness one is likely to fall into isn't the obvious wrong things, at least not right away. I mean, let's be honest, if somebody told us to go and rob the corner store, I don't think there's probably anybody. I'm just looking around. No, I don't think there's anybody in this room that would probably do that. Had to check, right? No. But the wicked lure, they tempt. They appeal to a lesser side of ourselves. They charm us. And then when you're in too deep, they ask more of you. And then it's harder and harder to refuse. And so that's why we have to test things, right? We have to test messages that we're receiving, because sometimes the origin is not immediately obvious. Our story about the temptation of Jesus reminds us of our human condition, because all of us have experienced temptation in one way or another. And here, Jesus' experience is one that we can identify with. This is a story about the pre-Easter Jesus, the human being who breathes and bleeds just like us. Now, we have another character in this story, the story of the devil, and I don't know about you, I don't talk about the devil all that much. Maybe I'm not interested in spending time thinking about that. Now, we do, when we baptize children and adults and into our church, we do talk about evil, and so we ask them to answer this question. It's a part of a section in the liturgy that we call the Renunciations. And the wording is this: trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? That's our, and, you know, nobody has ever questioned that to me when I've said, here's what we're going to do. Everybody has always said, yes, I do renounce those. I don't know if it seems like a low bar, right, to become a Christian. And then as I read this week's lesson, I wonder, maybe I'm too flippant about this question. As I've thought about how the power of evil personified as the devil, how these go about their business of drawing us away from God, maybe it's not so easy to just offhandedly reject evil. Now, not all Christians believe in an active personal devil named Satan, and that's okay. We can easily differ on that. The Bible isn't always clear either. The first time we hear about Satan is today's first scripture reading from Genesis, when the devil tempts Eve to eat the apple and commit the first sin, right? Well, except it's not the devil, it's the serpent, remember? And so there's nothing in that story about the devil or the name Satan. That's us reading into the text, which is a habit we can all fall into. And it doesn't even say anything about apples. It says fruit. So whether or not you believe in a personal devil as a character, I think we all have that ability, as I said before, to believe in the power of evil because, well, we see it. We see it in our world. Both the Bible and our experience make clear there's evil at work in our world. And the work of evil, the work of the devil as personified in scriptures, always to draw us away from God. And so in our Genesis story today, we see that there's temptation for us to think we are going to take God's place. You know, the serpent doesn't say, oh, don't pay attention to that guy. He's not God. But more flattering us to think, oh, we don't need God all that much, that we can do it on our own, that we know better than God. And when you think of their Adam and Eve in this garden and their limited experience of what the world is, it's so naive, right? They think they know better than God. And so that's their temptation. Stop trusting in God for life and just trust in yourself. Listen to yourself, not God. You can do it on your own. You can decide right from wrong. You can be the one in control. You will be like God. And that's a tempting voice to listen to. And so the counter to that kind of temptation is humility, the call to repentance, to return to the Lord your God. It's the message of Ash Wednesday. It's the message of the impositions of ashes. From ashes you came, and to ashes you shall return. No matter how hard we try to get control on our own, we cannot make ourselves live forever. Adam and Eve cannot stay in paradise on their own. And so it's our reminder, right, that we are mortal beings created by God from the dust, from the Adam, Ma. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Choose to listen to God rather than the devil's flattery. And so in Matthew, we have three different temptations. The first temptation is, I call it the temptation of the quick fix to solve our problem. And it seems simple. It doesn't seem terribly awful, right? Perform a small miracle to assuage your own hunger. Do a simple thing to take care of yourself. If you're the Son of God, why don't you do this? And the temptation is that this is This quick fix is what God has called Jesus to do. Go around. Be the little Mr. Fix-It. Fix these little issues. Fix your issue, Jesus, that fix your hunger. But that ignores this larger call that Jesus has been called to as the beloved of the world, as the savior of the world. It basically dramatically reduces the breadth of the mission of God that Jesus has been given to just problem solving. The second temptation is a temptation of attention and status, testing God. Right? So it's to go up to the top of the temple, jump off, and rely on angels to come and bear him up. This, in fact, would be a miracle that would fulfill a scripture in the Old Testament, throwing himself down from the highest point. In other words, risking death and showing off to the world his connection to God. And as I looked at that, I thought, gosh, you know, when Jesus does perform miracles in the gospel text, it's not just to show off, right? It's actually to provide a kind of healing or teaching. He will heal lepers. He's going to heal a blind man, a woman with the issue of blood, a man with a withered arm. He will feed people in the wilderness to show them that God will provide. He will bring evil spirits out of people so they regain their mind. And so Jesus' miracles are not to show off for the crowds. His miracles are about grace and love and redemption. So the third temptation is the temptation to rule an empire, but under the authority of the devil. It's a temptation of putting oneself in the place of a king or an emperor. And truthfully, there are parts of the Old Testament that look for a Messiah who comes in power and might to kick out the foreign earthly rulers and establish a religious governance. But Christ's actual message is something counterintuitive. It's equally biblical if we remember those messages of the Hebrew prophets. Jesus is not going to be the one who will come as a powerful, mighty one. And he is certainly not going to do that under the direction of the devil. And we are then empowered by his response to this request. He said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Even when that's not, even when it requires sacrifice, it is a soft voice, not a power voice. So I wonder, you know, we've got lots of ways voices come to us, and our liturgy today reminded us of all of those voices. You know, the voice of the text that shows up. I don't know about you, I get a lot of spam texts. Anybody else suffer through that? You get a lot of voices you never asked for these days. And so we have the swirl of voices. And I think, how do we figure out what voices we ought to listen to? And here's one test that you might make. Any messages, even ones that are wrapped up in religious sounding language, says, if you do this or if you don't do this, God will stop loving you. Any message accusing you of being so broken you're beyond redemption, those are lies from the devil. Because here's the voice of truth. You and I are made in God's image, redeemed by Jesus. Our identity is found in the God who says, "You are redeemed." Jesus sees us as valuable, loved, worth laying his life down for. And so in this season, we seek to hear the truth of how God sees us. We return to this one who is loving and merciful. In the coming weeks, we're going to see how Jesus uses his wilderness experience for healing and new life as he encounters various people that we will focus on in the coming weeks. He will encounter a high religious leader who comes to him by night. He will meet an outcast woman by a well in the daylight. A man who is healed and then thrown out. A friend who dies and who he resurrects. And so our invitation is to journey into this with him. It's an opportunity to discover unexpected joys and life, and a way to test our conceptions of ourself and God. It is a time to heal and a time to walk with others in the way of Jesus. And so, friends, let us begin this journey. Amen. So I invite you to stand as you are able. And we will be singing a hymn that we will sing a few times during our Lenten season, "Since the Lord is My Salvation." It's on page 5 to a familiar tune. Let us stand.
The giving of tithes and offerings is one way we acknowledge all that God has given us. In giving, we express our gratitude, we reflect God's character, and we are investing in God's kingdom. Tithes and offerings differ in size and how they are given. Some are mailed, some placed in the box in the narthex, some electronically transferred or given using the QR code found in the pew pocket in front of you. No matter the amount or the method, when we give, we inspire others to do the same, creating an ever overflow of goodness and blessing. So let us give with open hearts and ask God to use our gifts to make a difference in the world which He has created and entrusted to us. We dedicate these gifts to the work of God in the world, weaving a tapestry of compassion and action, faith and fellowship, hope and wholeness. We are grateful to have gifts to give. May they realize Christ's dream for the world. Amen.
So as we enter into this time of the imposition of ashes, here are a couple of directions. If you are unable to come to the Ash Wednesday service, you're invited to come forward. We're not going to have ushers lead you forward. We'll just assume you come forward. Lou will be here. I will be here. And we will give the sign. We will give you a brief line. And if you cannot come forward, if that's physically not possible, Lou and I will come into the pews. And if you wish to be to receive the ashes, we will do that there. Because this is a time when we begin to recognize our holy need for repentance. And so we begin this journey with the sign of the ashes. So I invite you, as you are able, to read the community prayer found in your bulletin. Let us read together. Almighty God, You have created us out of the dust of the earth. May these ashes be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so we may remember that by your gracious gift, we are given eternal life. Amen. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, your beloved child of God. Mary, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you are a child of God. Let us pray. Oh, before we pray, we received some rather surprising and somewhat shocking news this week. Bill Guile died very unexpectedly this past Wednesday. He was in the hospital. We thought he was going home. And so we're all, along with Laura, we're all still reeling a bit from that news. But Laura, we hold you in prayer, and we're so glad to see you this morning. So let us pray. Lord God, today is the first Sunday of Lent, a season of repentance, of self-examination, of silence, and waiting for the leading of your Holy Spirit. And through your Spirit, you lead us into the temptations of Jesus. 40 days where our lives are laid bare and we come face to face with our desire for power. Power over our lives and the lives of our friends and enemies. And maybe even power over you. Open us to your grace and mercy, your love and provision as we confront the devil's temptations, the demons that try to run our world and lives. Give us the power of your Son that we may also throw off the insidious powers of sin, the forces of selfishness and pride, the forces that keep us from confronting the truth about our lives and the world. During this season of Lent, shatter our illusions, save us from ourselves, and open us to the new life of your Holy Spirit, a life of faith, hope, and love. As we let your Spirit lead us into repentance, may we discover the goodness and fullness of life in your kingdom of peace. In the words of the psalmist, may we find in your presence a refuge, a dwelling place, a place of rest. We pray for our world, our country, our state, and our communities. May we treat one another with love and compassion, feeding the hungry, clothing the unclothed, housing the unhoused, and releasing the prisoners. And we pray for those among us in need of healing, whether in body, mind, or spirit, and celebrate with those who are welcoming new life into their communities. Help us to sit with those who are grieving and to stand with those experiencing harm. May we also resist the temptation to find our rest in places that muffle the cries of injustice, the desperation of the needy, the anger of the wrong, and the despair of the hopeless. May those voices echo in our Lenten silence, for the call of your Spirit also speaks through those voices. May we use this season of Lent to empty ourselves of all that makes us deaf to the Word of God, Jesus Christ, who is already on our lips and our hearts. And finally, we pray the prayer that Christ taught us to say, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us now stand as we are able to sing hymn number 333, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. So friends, go with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth, and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.